So, like I see each and every time we get together, things are starting to heat up. And we see as we're walking here and to Revelation chapter 12, beginning of verse 7, point number one, the war in the heavens. Look at verse 7. It starts talking about Satan. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. And so we see Satan, that is the dragon. We saw back in Revelation 12:3 that Satan was called the great red dragon. Satan is an untamable, powerful, vicious monster and killer. He's against God, against God's people. And he's the serpent. He's identified as the serpent of old, the dragon. And this means that he started his attack back in Eden, and ever since then he's been slithering around in a secretive way, trying to just poison and destroy everything and everyone. And he slithers around, tries to destroy and devour anything that he can. He's not the friend of people. He's deadly. He's venomous. He's a serpent. He's a dragon. And then he is the devil. Verse 9 told us that. He's the devil. And literally the fact is that he's a liar. He's a false, slanderous. He's an accuser. He does much of his work through false allegations. He is a liar. In Eden, he lied. He told Eve she would not die if she ate the fruit. And he is the Satan. He's literally the adversary of God. He's an evil opponent of God. He's the adversary of God's word. He's an adversary of God's work and program and people. He opposes everything that God is and everything that God does. And he's the deceiver. He's not a truth setter or a straight shooter. He's a deceiver. His goal is to deceive the world. He has deceived many, and he continues to do that. And he loves to do that, and he's at war. There's a war going on between Michael and Satan. I want to look at verses 8 and 9, too. It says, "But he was defeated. There's no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And so the grammar, when we look back at that time, that the instigator of this war is Michael. Michael's the one who starts the fight with Satan and his angels. We certainly learned that when Michael and his angels started this war, Satan's forces didn't surrender. They fought back. And the war is in heaven, the atmospheric heaven. There's three of them. There's the atmospheric heaven where the birds fly and clouds are, with the stellar heaven where the sun, moon, galaxies and planets are, and then there's the third heaven, the throne of God, heaven where God's throne and home are. That third heaven is the heaven Paul referred to when he said he was caught up to the third heaven. That's the heaven where Satan is apparently permitted from time to time to come appear before God. And it's somewhere in the third heaven where this war apparently occurs. And what's the outcome? Well, there's a reputation here of him being thrown down, and it's a critical point. It's an aorist passive. The word literally means to cast something or throw something from its place. The word used is to refer to action performed on an object that isn't positive, and that aorist tense means it's a key point or moment of time in the tribulation. The passive verb means that Satan and his forces are recipients of that action. If they could prevent this, they would, but they cannot. And we see that they're no longer permitted to go any place in heaven. Somewhat of a mystery here, but apparently they're permitted to go to certain locations in heaven, but at this point they're no longer permitted to do so. And they'll be confined to the earth. And we see as we move even farther along that when Satan loses to Michael, there'll be great praise in heaven. And for those believers in heaven, it's going to be huge. There's a few different themes, but look at verses 10 through 12. "And I heard a loud voice of heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. So God's going to be praised for his salvation. The people in heaven are already saved. However, they are not yet rejoicing, enjoying the bliss and joy of reigning with Christ. And then God will be praised for his power. The one with the power is God, not Satan. And God's going to be praised for his kingdom. He's about to establish a kingdom on earth. And it'll be praised for his authority of his Christ. And it'll be praised for no more accusations. Isn't that going to be great? And God will be praised for being in heaven and not on earth. And then we see Satan's loss to Michael. This expulsion from heaven means he's going to attempt to totally destroy and annihilate Israel. Look at verses 13 through 17. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and a half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to keep her away with flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. And so we see this description of Satan and his demons. They're cast out, and they want to destroy every Jew on earth, but it isn't going to be happening because we see that second point there, the woman in the wilderness. And he's going to persecute Israel. That Greek word, verb persecute, dioko, is one that literally means to persecute something in a speedy pursuit that drives the thing persecuted away and puts it to flight. The aorist tense of the verb indicates that it starts at the moment of time when Satan is cast out of heaven. And the object of that pursuit and that persecution is the woman who gave birth to the male child. The male child is none other than Jesus Christ, and the woman who produced her was the nation Israel. So when Satan is confined to this earth, he'll immediately begin a pursuit and a persecution of Israel. And when Jesus was here speaking of future events, he warned this moment would come, and that people living in Jerusalem and Judea, that surrounding area, need to flee as fast as they can. He said, don't go get anything out of the house, and don't even get a coat. Just get out of there. It'll be a critical matter of faith. Those Jews who believe that Jesus said and do what he said will be saved, and those who don't will not. They'll be killed. So we see this thinking that is going on, and this back and forth. Those Jews who continue to reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Messiah are headed to a satanic slaughter. And then we see that God will sovereignly protect, preserve, and provide for those Israelites who obey him for those 3.5 years. And so the imagery here is used of a great eagle, and it's specifically talking about the picture there of a powerful bird and rapid in flight. And this imagery is specifically connected to the relationship between God and Israel. Remember, Moses had told Israel that he was one who bore them on eagle's wings and brought them out of Egypt. And so this eagle imagery is a special or specific reference of a relationship between God and national Israel. So literally, many Jews will literally flee into the wilderness areas that surround Jerusalem. And this moment of fleeing to suburbia wilderness areas is mentioned and taught by Jesus Christ. The very areas where King David fled when he was being pursued by Saul. And symbolically, many Jews will flee to Gentile nations, and they're going to hide the Jews and protect Jews. And, so it's interesting that these different things are used to communicate what's going to happen. We learn in verse 14 that the specific time frame of this persecution is identified as being time and times and half a time. And 1260 days, 3.5 years, and that's exactly what was predicted by Daniel. Daniel 7:23 through 28 state that the Antichrist will wear down the saints for time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years. And in Daniel 12, verse 7, it's predicted that God's nation will be shattered for time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years. So these Jews, they must flee. And Satan's initial assault against Israel will be like a flood of a river. Prophet Daniel specifically predicted that this kind of persecution was going to happen. And God will not permit Satan and his forces to completely destroy Israel. God can be trusted. And he's saying that throughout the prophets. And even in this last day here, he's stressing it so that we would trust in the God who promised Israel. What he promised is also the God who promised us. And Satan will realize that God is protecting Israel, and that will enrage him even more. He'll realize that he cannot destroy Israel because of God's sovereign protection. So he'll turn his attention to destroying any believer who's after understanding God's word. And so he'll try to destroy anything connected to it. And so that is a reminder that we must go on. We must trust him. We must look to him, because he's always been about this. And he will continue to be about it until we are finally in the kingdom of Christ.